All right, hello and welcome to the football chat room. We promise an episode tomorrow, so there will be an episode tomorrow. That is Wednesday. Anyway, today we will talk about majorly. This is our Premier League preview episode. We'll talk about the Premier League season and talk about all the teams playing in the new Premier League season. Transfer activity. Very big news out of Wolves. Julian Lopetegui has left the club. I think I read by mutual consent. Yeah, which is very funny because he basically saved them from being relegated last season. But that's to talk about. We'll talk about the Fantasy Premier League, of course, how to play FPL, the scoring system for FPL. And of course, there is a huge announcement at the end of the podcast, but we'll save that for the end of the podcast. Hello, Precious. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Happy to be on the episode today. I'm excited to be part of this discussion.
Yeah. So, where do we start from? Wolves have sacked the manager who brought a different dynamic to their game. I know this is all jokes and we joke about it, but there's a new manager bounce against United on Monday. Is that a genuine cause for worry?
No, it's not. Unless I think if there's anything to be worried about in that game is how United will turn up, right? Not whatever. If Wolves want, if they even get Guardiola for that game, right? It will not affect the result. It's just I think it's up to United, right, to start the season well. You know, if you see the last few games that we played, even in preseason, that there had to be like a bounce, like, okay, these people are about to beat us, and you now have to come back. We remember that,
and we currently don't have a recognized striker going into the season.
Exactly. So, but this is what I always say, right? Like, you shouldn't need that as a good team to win games, right? Like, leave that, okay, probably you need it to win the league because you have 38 games playing different kinds of opposition and plus other competitions, right? Important. But as a good team, you shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm playing Wolves, I don't have a striker, oh, shit, right? Like, you shouldn't be thinking that. You should be thinking, yeah, even if we play Bruno Fernandes at the first nine, we should beat Wolves, right? Like, that kind of vibe, you get. So,
yeah,
I think we have more than enough in our locker. We could play Rashford in the middle, see Garnacho on the left, you know, which is very exciting. Very exciting. So I don't think that changes anything. I don't think it changes anything.
Okay, so just sticking with the Premier League, you've talked about that game. That game is by 8 PM on Monday next week. Sticking with the Premier League, the first game of the new Premier League season is on Friday, August 11th. That game is Burnley against Manchester City at the Turf Moor. On Saturday, August 12th, we have Arsenal against Nottingham Forest, early kickoff, 12:30 PM. That game will be at the Emirates Stadium. Then by 3, there's Bournemouth versus West Ham. That game will be at the Vitality Stadium. All right, Vitality, yeah, for Bournemouth.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but I can quickly confirm.
Okay, so it's
not very relevant.
Yeah, Vitality Stadium.
Yeah.
Then there's Brighton and Hove Albion versus Luton at the same 3 PM on Saturday at what's the stadium called again? I know it. Amex Stadium. Yeah, Amex Stadium.
Yeah.
The play at the Amex Stadium. American Express. And of course there's Everton versus Fulham, same 3 at Goodison Park. There's Sheffield versus Crystal Palace at Bramall Lane. There is Newcastle versus Aston Villa.
Yeah. Like before we leave Sheffield United, what do you think about Sheffield United? Sheffield United are currently selling all their best players. They've said they've sold Ndiaye, right? They sold him to Olympic Marseille. Right? Which was like he was their best player last season. And now
we are going to talk about all of these teams. Okay. Yeah. on teams that will get relegated, but just after reading out the fixtures, then we'll focus on a few teams. So yeah, can I move on? We'll come back to Sheffield. Okay. So of course there's Newcastle versus Aston Villa 5:30 on Saturday, final game. And on Sunday, there's I don't know why I'm laughing, but there's Brentford. And I have a gut feeling we'll lose this to Brentford. That game is at the GTEC Community Stadium in Brentford. And by 4:30, the season kicks off with a big game. Chelsea versus Liverpool. Chelsea take Liverpool on at Stamford Bridge. So, interesting game. So, let's just go back to Sheffield United. I don't know, man. And it's like, I mean, I have never looked at Sheffield United, yeah. But they are selling, and that's not a good sign, yeah. I mean, other teams that have come in from relegation, Burnley have made signings. Burnley, I know there was a time I wanted, what's his name now? The Norwegian midfielder. Senderbridge, I think that's his name. Something around that. But yeah, his name sounds like that. I wanted him in the Premier League playing for one of these mid-table clubs, and Burnley have just signed him. You know, Burnley making signs
from Sheffield. Funny enough, two Premier League clubs selling to each other. Two clubs that, you know,
that have just come from relegation.
Selling to each other.
So
selling, Sheffield is selling their best player to Burnley.
Another club and I really don't think Burnley will fight relegation this season. With very brilliant championship.
No, I don't think they would. I don't think they will, because I think they play. I think Kompany is a good coach. I think he inspires the team, and the way he's training them has been good. Taking that Burnley team, right? We all know how Burnley used to play, right? Then, you know, turning it all around, the mentality around the club in one season, right? So that's no small feat, right? And
winning the championship with the record number of points.
Yeah, exactly. And goals. I think he got over 80 goals last season in the championship for his squad. So now the only thing that I think will be tricky is replacing the players that he's losing, right? Because there were some players that were on loan in that Burnley side. So, but I think he will. I think he will bring in good fits for the club. Right? I think they've been very positive in the transfer market. And we'll see about that.
Talking about Burnley, Valt Vegas is on his way to Hoffenheim on loan. So, we will not see Vegas in the Premier League next season. I shared a very emotional reel on my Instagram story by Vegas himself. And I always maintain the opinion that I really cannot blame Vegas for not being good enough. But the person I blame is the person that thought he was wise enough to bring him to Manchester United. But moving on from Vegas and United, the team I would want to look at is Brighton. Yeah. Because now there is talk of Brighton signing Mohamed Kudus, but that deal is stalling because they have a problem with agreeing personal terms with the player. I think Kudus wants guarantees that if he performs well and there's a window to leave the club, he will leave the club. Something Brighton are not really willing to offer currently. So, but Brighton have made really good things, and we're going to get into FPL. And so, someone I've had my eye on throughout preseason is João Pedro. He used to play for Watford, but Brighton have signed him, and he's been brilliant in preseason. I have him on my FPL squad. I don't know if I will play him in game week one as a starter. That's a decision that it will be made when I see a traveling squad. No, I mean, he'll be in traveling squad, so eventually there's a risk that I'll have to decide on whether to take or not. Yeah. But I have looked at Brighton through preseason, and they have been sharp. You know, I feel there will be it's lost for 5 Premier League clubs in the Champions League. Because, I mean, you have Brighton knocking really hard. There's Aston Villa, who have been brilliant. And, you know, signed Gerry Tielemans as well. Brilliant. Now, I'm making these calls based off season. Gerry Tielemans signed Gareth Tielemans, looks really good. And so, what? First of all, what are your thoughts on Brighton and Hove Albion?
I think they'll be good once again. I think they'll have a good season. I think they replaced the players that they've left, that has left.
And very big.
And I think with João Pedro, if he plays through the middle, I think he's an upgrade on Welbeck, right? And if they manage to keep Maitoma and
I was just going to ask you, do you think Brighton keep Caicedo?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
I don't think they will keep him. The money is good, and Caicedo is basically has. I think he's currently on strike at Brighton right now because of the transfer, and I know he's a really good player, but the money is really good. Right? They should just sell him. It's what they do, right? So
and they find replacements like it's nothing. Anyway, I'm leaving Brighton and moving on to Tottenham Hotspurs. Now news coming out today from Time Sports state that Harry Kane might well leave Spurs. Now Harry Kane does not want to leave Spurs after the league has started. Harry Kane does not seem to want to renew, so it's coming to the point where desperation kicks in. We're hearing that I read anyway that Bayern's new bid will be around £94 million, and that should really be enough to convince Daniel Levy. If not, man, I don't know. It's plain stupidity to lose a player. I mean, a 30-plus player, when you get to sell a 30-plus player who is starting to decline, and you get an extra £100 million probably signed to strikers to replace him. And there was also talks about Spurs signing Taremi. Taremi is also a 30-plus player, so I don't know how that's going to work. But do you think Kane leaving Spurs will definitely affect their results? But how badly do you think it will affect their results?
At this point, it wouldn't matter that much. It's not like they were in the Champions League last season, right? I know that Harry Kane's goal kept them up, like his goals last season. Phenomenal player, right? So, but I think if he leaves, players will step up, right? And they will probably achieve
at the same level.
I don't think Tottenham make it into the Champions League next season, right? And it's not. I don't think it's even about the coach, right, or anything. I think it's just with the current players that they have and the mentality around the club. They have a ceiling right now, right? So, because we don't know what Tottenham is, right? We cannot say they're a silent club that, you know, keeps it fresh and all of that. They're not that. We can't say, oh, they're a club that, you know, back the manager and go for trophies. They are not that either. So that lack of identity is what I think has permitted Spurs. Because, you know, from the time of Eriksen, you know, where did Eriksen even leave Spurs to go to? Was it Inter Milan or something like
that? Yeah, Inter Milan.
Yeah, like, did you get, like, a player as good as Eriksen? You have... there was the whole thing with Dele Alli, you know.
Lucas Moura did not work out well as well for Spurs.
Yeah, didn't work out. Anyway. But, you know, previously they used to have, like, you know, I don't know, certain great players in certain positions. But now I think, like, they have only just a handful of players performing at the top level. And I think that's just maybe Harry Kane and Son on a good day.
They got James Maddison.
Yeah, which is a big addition. But I don't think he would be as effective as we think, because the places that Maddison wants to play in are the places that Harry Kane wants to play in. I don't know if you've noticed that, because Harry Kane is not your traditional nine, right? He's like a nine and a half, right? So... And I think those are the spaces that Maddison would want to play in, right? So, I don't know. I don't think that would... I think Maddison, he has... I don't know, very good numbers from last season, even though Lista did very poorly, right? I think he had like 20 goal contributions in the Premier League, which is massive, right? In that Lista side. But having said that, playing at Tottenham will be much different than playing at Lista. And, you know, especially at Tottenham, runners in front of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Kane will not be making those runs. It's going to be Son alone because Kulusevski also likes to come short. You get so you would have Kulusevski, Kane, and Maddison trying to play in the same zone. I don't
but
think that
I
works
think,
out very
I think if Kane leaves Spurs will get a striker, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is the best thing actually. I think it is best for him to leave so that they start figuring out, you know, the next few years. Right, so I think they should have sold him earlier, gotten good money for him, and start a rebuild. You know, I think I think Spurs already bought a striker, self, but I don't. He's not a senior striker. The guy is from Mozambique, Brazil, or what? Oh, I think Spurs generally from South America.
Anyway, I'm moving on to West Ham United. West Ham have yesterday. Anyway, not officially. But from a reliable journalist, West Ham have completed the signing of Edson Álvarez. Prior to Álvarez signing, I was just going to say, West Ham, will you get relegated next season? Like, the most obvious pick for relegation. But of course, now West Ham are in talks to sign both Harry Maguire and Scott McTominay. We're hearing that it's more likely that they sign Harry Maguire and not Scott McTominay, because I think we talked about this yesterday. You know, United value McTominay at ridiculous $45 million. But there are reports also came out today that that valuation is set to drop, and then United are raising $10 million off the $45 million and use it as add-ons. So, if you qualify for an European spot, European competition, or if you win a domestic trophy, I've heard that that those add-ons become payable. So what do you think of West Ham's season? Now West Ham has to be said, West Ham still have quality players. I mean, it's not like they've been selling everybody in their squad, but that same squad also struggled last summer. And the most important player in that squad, Declan Rice, has left that squad. So now of course there's still Paqueta in that squad. There's still Antonio. They just sold Gianluca Scamacca to Inter. Is that to Inter or Atlanta? I've forgotten who they sold
to Atlanta.
Yeah, okay, to Atlanta, sold Scamacca. But it's not as if Scamacca was even playing a lot. You know, there's still Jared Bowen in there. There's still Cedric Benrahma. You know, there's still for now. There's still a whole squad. What's his name now? Naif Aguerd. You know, quality players in that squad. I think Crestwell is still there. So, do you think West Ham will you get relegated if they don't make any more signings, which I doubt will happen? But if they do sign Harry Maguire and Scott McTominay, do you think they stand the chance at entering? That may be far-reaching. Do you think they stand the chance at avoiding relegation this season?
I don't think West Ham will get relegated. I don't think they'll get relegated. The way this guy plays, I think, you know, with the quality that he has available, they will win games and they will stay up. I think they will stay up. So, just to recap on what I was saying, Tottenham, they bought a striker from Rosario Central. His name is Alejo Velis.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
So back to West Ham. I think West Ham will stay up. I don't think West Ham are one of the teams that will. They have a good core, right? And I think they will get. They already have a Álvarez coming in that can play alongside Suchet, right? So I think with or without completing this guy's sign, that's getting McTominay, right? I think they will still stay up.
Okay, anyway, let's move on to Arsenal just before we go to the big game. Arsenal, Nottingham Forest. Now, this was the game that effectively lost Arsenal the league last season. I see now. Just for confirmation, is my sound clear?
Yeah, your sound is still clear.
Okay. Now, Arsenal lost that game to Nottingham Forest, and that game effectively lost them the league. Now, Arsenal play Nottingham Forest as their first game of the season. I want us to look at Arsenal particularly because Gabriel Jesus has suffered an injury. We will miss the season.
I think Awoniyi is also injured.
Yeah. So just in case you play FPL, take note of all of these things. Gabriel Jesus an injury. Taiwo Awoniyi an injury. Awoniyi scored the goal that lost Arsenal the league last season. Of course, there is the chance that Leandro Trossard, who is a magnet for goal contributions, plays that game as the striker. There is also the chance, just like they did, he was wasteful, albeit, at the Community Shield final. Who has that's Arsenal fans think that's a major trophy. Anyway, yeah, Arteta has won three career trophies. Good for him. Anyway, Kai Havertz played as a striker in that game. A little wasteful, but that's an option as well. So, what do you think of that game to start with? And what do you think of Arsenal's season, including the transfer in general?
I think Arteta has gotten the players he wanted this time around. So, they've bought good players. I think they will be in the top four next season. I don't think they've done enough to win the league. Right? But I think they will be in the top four. They'll be in the top four surely. Simba is a good addition. Arteta wanted Havertz. So, I guess he's going to figure out what to do with Havertz. Because I think Havertz is best, would maybe be best. He looks, I don't know, I can't help but notice how he looks so off the pace. When I watch him, he looks off the pace. So I don't know how you can manage to work that out in midfield, right? Because I would say, okay, he's best, I think, attacking the box. I think he's always nice. He always looks wonderful when he's attacking the box behind the number nine, right? When he's like, you know, he can get into those half spaces in the box and around the box. I think he's excellent with that. And then receive all these balls over the top. He's good with that. Good control, good composure, right? But, you know, football is not so much about what you do when you're on the ball, right? But when you lose the ball, what now happens, So, from what we saw, like, in the big games, right, and in the games that matter, Arteta wants Partey in the squad, right? I think Partey played 90 minutes, right, in the Community Shield final.
Yeah, I think I said this, yeah. Eventually, that's not
for sure. Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. We talked about when we were talking about predicted 11. I said that in that midfield, they are going to play, not like for the game, right, but for the season, what would be a more reliable 11 players.
Yes, play, and that's right? Their midfield.
And then we talked about putting Thomas Partey and Declan Rice, right, because you can't just leave only Rice there, right, with Havertz and Odegaard. It doesn't work. They tried it against us in preseason, and it did not work, right? There is no... Like, there's progression, but not enough of it, right? Because Havertz is not good in the deep areas. Like, I think his game is very misunderstood, right? And Odegaard is only good in the pocket because he doesn't like coming too deep, right? But he excels when he's holding the ball in, you know, small pockets of space, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think Arsenal will be fine this season. I think they have options. They will be fine because if the Havertz experiment is not working, they can just play Rice and Partey. And Rice is good carrying the ball forward, right? So he can do that role. I think Partey, from what I've seen, his ball playing is actually underrated. I don't think he's elite, right? But I think he can do a job. Like, contrary to what I said much earlier, I was like, can you trust Partey to be that holding midfield that you get, that everything goes through? But I think he can do it. With Declan Rice around beside him, right? He can always give to Declan Rice to carry, right? Especially when the season starts and Declan Rice gets into his groove, right? So this is what I'm saying. I think Arsenal will be in the top four. I think they have depth. If, as Gabriel Jesus is not around, Ketia can play there, Havertz can also play there, right? So, and no matter how wasteful they can be, you know, they can always bring in Trossard, right? If it doesn't, it's not working out, they bring in Trossard, you know, on both wings or even in the center. You get so that's a good amount of depth. You get so they have Smith Rowe coming into the squad. It just sounds like there are options, people that can be tried out and all of that. So, but I think they will stick to an 11 for the beginning part of the season, and they would be able to get results. So I would put them in top four. I think they would be the second best team in the league or the third best team in the league. So
out the big one, Chelsea versus Liverpool. Now, what's his name now? Christopher Nkunku has gotten injured. I think we talked about this yesterday as well. He has torn the medial collateral ligament in his knee. I don't know the particular knee, but he could miss as much as 4 months due to injury. That's a lot of time to miss. And that, now, how do you see that affecting Chelsea's? I think we'll talk about Chelsea in a lot more detail, but that's going to have an effect on Chelsea's season. Definitely, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. It is, because I don't know, I think he brings, you know, a good amount of maturity to what they have going forward. Right. And we saw those runs that he was making in preseason. Very good run. Right. So I think it would affect how Chelsea season will start. Because, you know, going to the Premier League with a very young squad, you need some players that have experience, you know. Kuku has been playing for Leipzig, right, for a while now. So he has experience playing with the big boys, right? But a lot of these players are still, you know, fresh-eyed and all of that, especially in the attacking areas. So I think it would affect them. Not to a devastating extent, because I think anything that will happen to Chelsea this season will happen to them, not just because Nkunku got injured, guess, but because the Todd Boehly experiment might fail once again, right? Because, you know, now getting Caicedo will not be enough in midfield, right? You need two other midfielders that can play at this Premier League level, you get. And there are only talks of, you know, bringing in only Caicedo. So,
okay, so what's your prediction for that game? Now, I have to point out that Mohamed Salah.
Yeah, I think Liverpool wins
this season. That's Liverpool a point that will FPL. I think that's a no-brainer. I always start the season with Mohamed Salah and Erling Haaland. Now, I usually start with... Now, what I do is that I get Haaland as someone that who should be in my team all the time. Last season, I did not start with Salah. So I started Haaland and Kane, and then I built my team around them. But Mohamed Salah, definitely pick for my FPL. He would be my captain if it was not a big game. But Haaland is my captain. So now we're just in FPL, so we'll just start from FPL and how to play FPL. So basically, when you go to play FPL, you have £100 million to build a squad that consists of 15 players, 2 goalkeepers, 5 defenders, 5 midfielders, and 3 strikers. Now, wingers in real life are considered midfielders in FPL. So that's pretty basic here. Yeah? And of course, different players have different prizes. Of course, for example, Erling Haaland cost $14 million on FPL, majorly because of how he performed last season. You know, Mohamed Salah, $12 million. Kevin De Bruyne, all of these big players have big prizes because there's the potential that they deliver. Trent Alexander-Arnold, $8 million, all of that stuff. So yeah, you get that. Now, after you have $100 million, I've talked about what your squad should consist of. Now you can only have a maximum of 3 players from each team, so you cannot have Rashford, Bruno Fernandes, Andre Onana, and Luke Shaw. Once you get to three, you exceed your limits and you have only three players from the same team. So now, let's get to selecting your team and the deadline. Of course, you have 15 players. Four of those players go to the bench, one goalkeeper and three outfield players. Now, you can play with three defenders. You can play with four defenders. You can play with five defenders. Yeah, so your team is flexible as you want it. You can play with one striker. You can play with two strikers. You can play with three strikers. So you can mess around with your team. And that shouldn't affect anything. But your bench must have one goalkeeper. Yeah, so that's clear. Now, FPL deadline is 90 minutes. Is that 90 minutes? I think it's 1 hour now. But just to be safe, take 90 minutes. But I'm almost certain it's 1 hour to kick off on match day one. So you can mess around with your team, especially for the first game week. Now, you can make unlimited changes for the first game week. But once you pass the first deadline, you can make only one free transfer per week. Any other transfer you make and you lose points. Now, each transfer costs, I think, 2 points or 4 points. Now, let's get straight. Now, this is where it gets dicey. How to score FPL players. Now, I have seen people put defensive midfielders in their FPL squads. I'm sorry, but that's not going to get you a lot of points. Yeah. Now, the essence is that FPL is heavy on goals or assists. And so because defensive midfielders do not really get goals or assists, that's not very helpful to your FPL team. So when you found a way to settle your team, I'm not going to walk you through selecting a team because that's a really long process, but just find a way to build your team with 100 million. Less important players can be on your bench, but you should note that if something happens and someone on your first team did not play a game, someone from your bench will go to replace him. Now, the person on your bench that will replace him is by the order they are arranged on your bench. So, if you have, for example, on my bench, I have what's his name now? I have Emi Martinez on my bench. Then I have who else do I have? I don't know, but basically, I have three more players. Now, if, for example, someone does not play, it's the first player on my bench that goes to replace him. Now, I don't know if they are, if they respect player positions. For example, if a midfielder goes to replace him, I really don't know, but that's how it works. If someone does not play on your team, someone else replaces him. Now, if your vice captain does not play, so if your captain does not play the full 90 minutes, your vice captain replaces him. So, yeah, that's pretty clear. Now, points are awarded to players based on goals, assists, saves, clean sheets, and I have to add appearances. Now, of course, there are bonus points. So, but what happens when a player appears in a game, first appearance, like starts a game basically, the player is awarded 1 point. When they appear past 70 minutes of the game, they are awarded 2 points. Precious, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. So when they go past 70 minutes, they are awarded 2 points. Now, of course, they can get bonus points. They can get clean sheets. Now, bonus points are 3-2-1 based on how important they were to the game. Yeah. So say if a game is tied and someone scores the winning goal, that person will most likely get the 3 bonus points. And of course, there's 2-1 based on order of importance. If a goalkeeper makes a very crucial save to keep the game tied at 0-0, goalkeeper will probably get the bonus points. So we are talking about saves. Saves get you points. I think 4 saves get you 1 point. Yeah. Let me see this now. Whew. Now this is crazy because I don't know the exact points here that are allocated to each of these things, but I'll try to guess, and I hope that works. But it will not be far off what works. So, say for example, a goalkeeper saves a penalty. I think he gets 3 points for saving a penalty. Yeah, the goalkeeper. So, goalkeeper appearance, 2 points. Then, penalty save, 3 points. Say he assists. I think that's 6 points for the goalkeeper for assisting. the goalkeeper gets a clean sheet, that's 4 points. So that's how it works for a goalkeeper. Now, for a defender, if he scores, I think that's 6 points as well. An assist for a defender is 5 points. And this is a loophole in your FPL. So what I do is that I try to choose fullbacks who have the tendency to assist or score. So, for example, I would buy Trent for my FPL because he will probably score or assist. And it's very likely that Liverpool keep a clean sheet. So that's a plus for me. Yeah. Go for a defender, 6 points. An assist, 5 points. A clean sheet, 4 points. So that's beautiful to see. I would buy Luke Shaw for your team just for balance. Try to get a player in a team that is guaranteed clean sheets. Usually keep John Stones around. And John Stones is does this thing with this player. John Stones yeah. That is constant. Except
because they're an important UCL game. Then you have to make that change and bring up John Stones. So I have two fullbacks in.
Yeah, you know, you'll have to make that decision around that time. Okay. Whether to field him or not.
And I know.
All right, I'm sorry that we had a break in transmission. Now, the problem is, I don't know where that break occurred, so I don't even know where to start from. So, I'm just going to go the Precious. When did you stop hearing?
Yeah, I think the break occurred when I think you were talking about defensive midfielders. Was that when?
Okay, but had I talked about defenders and goalkeepers?
Yes. We talked about that.
So let's start from scoring for midfielders. Now, of course, the basic thing, 2 points for appearance. Now, a goal for a midfielder is 5 points. An assist is, I think, 3 or 4 points, one of them. So, yeah, that's how it works. And for a striker, and I have to mention that wingers are considered midfielders. So that would help you. For example, in my midfielder, I have Mohamed Salah. I have Harvey Barnes. A couple of players who are wingers. But, I mean, they've been classified as midfielders by FPL. So you can take advantage of that and use that to your advantage. So that's basically how point scoring works. Now, point scoring. So basically, a yellow card is -1 point for the player. A red card is -2. A penalty conceded, or a penalty cost, for example, Saliba causes a penalty, a handball or something, is -2 points. A penalty miss is -2 points. The penalty saved is, I think, at least 5 points for the goalkeeper. So now, if you have a goalkeeper that can save penalties, that will be helpful. So yeah, now to talk about the chips. The chips. Now, a wild card is basically where you can completely overhaul your team without losing points. And you can use this wild card twice a season for each half of the season. A free hit, you can reset your whole team for only 1 week. And then after that 1 week, it's reversed to what it used to be. Now, for a bench boost, basically, as you have players on your bench, usually those players will score points if they play games. So say, for example, I have Van Gusto on my bench. If Gusto plays a game, he will get points. If he scores assists, he will get points. But those points will not count on my team because, I mean, he's on my bench. But what a bench boost does is that it reverts that. So if you play your bench boost for this game week, the bench will count. If you can use that, once a season. Of course, there's triple captain where you can make your captain score triple. You know that your captain score is double. So say your captain gets 24 points. There was a game where Haaland got 24 points. And he was just my captain. I think I used my triple captain last season on Marcus Rashford during a double game week. Now, it's important that we point out that there can be double game week for some teams. And some teams can play a whole week without having games at all. And that's also a loophole that you can use to your advantage. So, for example, there was one time that Haaland had a double game week. and he was my captain, and I think he scored 4 goals, and it was a lot of points, about 70-something points, because he was my captain. So that's something you can use to your advantage. And so that's how FPL works. Now we are to close this episode and our announcements on our FPL. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, so right, for the podcast. Yeah, I think you've already announced that, maybe, right? Have you?
No, I've not.
Okay, so
I the mean, podcast I have on my WhatsApp status, but
I think you've dropped a few hints here and there and all that. So the mini league, we'll be doing a mini league for the podcast on FPL, which we plan for it to be very exciting, engaging, and, you know, just for a way for us to, you know, bring in some competition. And it's been a while I played FPL, like I played FPL like seriously, and I would want to be part of the league too. So
you cannot be part.
No, of course. But you know, just you know, for the community and the competition, right? So so we will have like terms and conditions to participate, right?
Yeah, in this and they'll be posted on Twitter.
Yeah, which will be posted on Twitter and
well on X.
Yeah, we will be prizes. Oh, sorry, on X. We're posting it on X. So there will be prizes, and the winner of the league would have a club kit signed.
Yeah, of their choice.
And, yeah, of their choice.
It doesn't a club have to be a United. Kit. Very important. A club kit. probably a Premier League club kit itself.
Yeah. So that promises to be very exciting, and we could do like a manager of the month kind of thing. So generally it's going to be very, very interesting, and you know, we'd love our listeners to bring their friends to play this league, because I think the more the merrier, right?
Yeah.
The more the competitive,
it gets exciting. We want
and we might do threads on how the league is going, the mini league that we are running, and all of that. So you don't want to miss out on this. So yeah, so stay updated. Follow us on social media. We'll be dropping details very soon, and a link to the league. Right.
There will be a link to the league. I'll post that link on Twitter.
Yes. Yes. So that would it would be wonderful, like to interact with everyone closely. There will be a lot of things to talk about, and hopefully the conversations that we can have as a community just improves a lot, right? When we can compete together, and finally, who knows, my superior football knowledge might show.
Please rest. I mean, the funny thing is that it does not always work like that. Yeah.
It's majorly luck, right? But, you know, and experience. I think playing FPL requires experience.
Yeah, experience counts for a lot, you know, because there were times when I used to play and I was so confused on what to do during double game weeks. And that's why we have this episode to clarify for you. During double game weeks, I was so confused. And
hopefully we would have like more episodes.
Yeah. Right. And you know, my friend will just be stacking up his free transfers, and I'll be wondering why. And then double game week could just make 5 and put 5 players that have double game weeks in his squad, and he will rack up like 130 points that game. Can I be struggling with 75?
There's this game that I tried out for a bit that I really enjoyed. I don't know if I remember it or if you played it. I think it's Soccer Manager or something like that. Like, it has this kind of league format and all of that, where you can create a league and then, you know, just set up your players for game week. I think it's Soccer Manager or something. It was quite popular then before they started this whole Fantasy Premier League and all of that. You could create a custom league with your friends, and then you guys can pick clubs in that league. You can decide you want to play like a season or Premier League season. You pick clubs within that league, right? And you can sell players to one another, right? That kind of stuff. You get, and then you can the teams that are not controlled by human beings. You can make bids to them, like the bots will respond, you know, that kind of stuff. It was quite surreal. Like you can set up your team, their game week, like it plays in real time and all of that. So how don't you know this game? How don't you know this game?
I don't know the game, and I'm really tired.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners know the game.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that's our package for tonight. I am really sleepy, and so this is where I call it the night. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to interact with us.
Very important.
Please interact with us. Thank you.